Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jasa Sagonige, a 7th grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius.
I'm Austin Powers, I like Gas Mojo. The very sexy, very switched on, yeah.
But you gotta have Gas Mojo, baby, yeah!
What a gas, baby, yeah!
I'm going to go back to the 60s and steal Austin Powers' Gas Mojo.
Hi folks, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of GasMojo.net Engine Booster. Immediate 25% fuel savings with GasMojo.net in just 5 minutes after installation. And your grandma can do it, so you just strap it on your fuel line, folks. Some customers report much greater savings. The GasMojo.net engine booster catalytically conditions any hydrocarbon fuel, be it gasoline, propane, diesel fuel. It's not a filter, it contains no metals, magnets, or toxic substances, and uses no electricity. The GasMojo.net engine booster unit is a specially designed tube containing a completely safe proprietary media. It's a passive fuel treatment process designed to disperse hydrocarbons for better performance and mileage, and also to break down carbon and other contaminants. Unlock your fuel's hidden energy potential now with GasMojo.net. And folks, you get a 100% money-back guarantee on this. I've got one on my car. It was developed by an old friend of mine, and he's an honorable person. You got to try it, folks, and go open a bank account now for all the money you're going to save. GasMojo.net, GasMojo.net. Just do it.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Blue Otter coming to you from Booger County in the mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America, southern Missouri. And we're once again honored to have as our guest, Grandfather Red Elk. And this show will begin to be heard on Prophecy Keepers Radio on the 4th of September, 2004. And I'm really excited to hear what's been going on because you've been in Canada for a couple of months. And everybody was anticipating your trip up there before you left. And I know you're excited about letting us know what happened. So without any further ado, go ahead and take the reins, Grandfather Red Elk.
Okay, my brother. First off, greetings to everybody, day, night, or whatever time you're in. I would like to start the way I normally like to start. Don't believe a word I say. Please check it through prayer or whatnot. Check it. just don't go off saying red upset. It's the way religions get going. And so don't believe a word I say. Please check it. And well, I'm not here to lie to anybody. I might pull some legs in a joke now and then. I don't know. But that's the way the inner Hioka and the way the Hioka clowns. You know, people take life too seriously too often, and it puts them in a depressed state. And by the way, if you are in a depressed state, use your five senses to get out of it. First off, start listening to good music, not junk, and you know, uplifting, happy music, and that starts the ball rolling. Second off, I've met a lot of women depressed. Go shave. I'm serious. Good Lord, they let your hair
works
grow.
For me.
Honest to God, they could dang near put them in a ponytail, like, popping up, pop out of their face. But look at yourself in the mirror. You look like hell. Fix yourself up if you do. Comb your hair, cut it, wash it, for heaven's sake. And, you know, start looking good and feeling good about yourself. Change your clothes. Get color in on you. It all starts helping you get out of your depressed state. Remember, you, as well as everybody on this planet and those off, are the Creator's child. Just be happy about that. Believe it or not, He wanted you. Yep. Those who are depressed and stinky and everything else, they wanted you. That's why you're Him. So that should make you at least somewhat lifted. But anyway, I got off the subject immediately.
That's all right. Good advice.
Yeah. But again, use all five senses to get yourself out of this and stand proud. You're a child of the Creator from His mind womb. Oh.
Oh.
But, well, yes, I just returned 4 days ago from Canada. 2 month trip. A little over 14,000 miles.
Yeah.
Driving from the Pacific Ocean all the way to the Atlantic and put my hands in the waters. So when I say ocean to ocean, I literally mean it. Almost to the Yukon on the western side and less than 2 hours from Newfoundland on the eastern side. And bouncing back and forth in a big zigzag. That's what I'm looking for. From our U.S. border and up again and back and up and back. A lot of time, and in all that time, I only slept in beds 4 nights. Yeah, it's intense, cramped up in either my own little pickup or in a van, just cramped. And others took the beds, and I guess they just figured I was too dang old to want to stretch out. I don't know. But I came home shorter than I went in.
I'll bet.
Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, even though the trip started extremely bad, the dark forces, and they do work and they are there, didn't want me to go. And I tell you, it was hell. For
made life miserable for you.
Oh yes, over 2/3 of the trip was really rough, and but I was getting a job done that needed to be done. And finally, a week and a half before I was to leave, the one reason the Black Forces didn't want me there in the first place showed up and took care of it. It was a good thing, and opened up the site. And from that moment on, I was released. Lucifer himself, and he does exist, I don't care what you think. Lucifer himself had just said, well, dang, I lost on this one. And so that last week and a half was pretty good. Came home, spent the day at home, and bounced back up there to the Canadian border again on a one-day drive. And back, and came home totally exhausted. I'm still trying to catch up, and trying to catch up on, you know, being away from home for 2 months. A lot of things happened while I was gone. Then you went bankrupt. That one of my family got a hold of our checks and bounced a bunch, and we had a little hidden account that this one didn't know about, so didn't get into that one, and had to just about totally wipe that one out to make up for all the bounced checks. And
well, I'll encourage people to send you donations. They're tax deductible.
No, that's fine. The Creator will take care of me. I've got a little bit of money. So I got home with $53. I spent over $3,400 U.S.
Wow.
Out of my own pocket. A lot of promises to pay for gas and room and board that just didn't all show up at all. So we scraped the barrel for me to get up there thinking we'd get paid back, but it didn't occur the way that it was intended. But that's all right. Dad takes care of us, and he's taking care of us. So we're not bankrupt, not broke. I've been far broker than I am now for far, far longer. So we're making it, and I'm not out here for donations. But thank you anyway, Blue Hunter. But this trip involved opening sacred sites, secret places that the Crees and other nations up in Canada all know about, but have long, long ago lost to war with the whites, and the whites giving out wonderful little blankets with the plague and various things, and the way the whites have been, even to today. And so the people that knew how to activate these sites and use them for healing or whatever they were made for are long dead. But the knowledge that the sites exist has always stayed with the people, just as it has in the States. But how to open it? No, there was nobody there. Nobody home, nobody alive. But one of the callings of the Inarhoka, and I don't care if you've never heard of Inarhoka, don't worry, I haven't heard of you either. So anyway, it exists. There's 12 of us in it, and we hold the key to how to connect with the Creator and get these sites open. And a number of times I was asked to lead the ceremony to open it, and I said, no, I've given you all the instructions. I'm not Cree or whatnot. This is yours. I just came here to help you, and I'm just going to stand here and make sure you get it right, and that's your place, not my place. And I tell
you're
them
a good
all,
teacher. You're
if
good
you
teacher.
Want to trust me, I'm not writing any dang book. So it's just doing what the Creator told me to do, go out and do this. And by the way, I had fasted for 69 days, and believe me, people say he's a liar. Nobody can fast that long and live. Well, I knew how long. I knew it'd be long. And so I took vitamins and I took juices, but I just didn't eat any solids whatsoever. I lost 79 pounds in 69 days. Well, it was good. I'd gone in weighing 293.
How tall are you?
Huh?
How tall are you?
Well, I'm a dang sight shorter now. Age is set. I wasn't very tall. I was only 5'6 3/4", and now I'm probably 5'5".
Your normal weight would be about 170, 160.
Normally, no. My good weight would be about 152 to 9.
Yeah.
But I'm that now, believe me.
Well, good for you. You'll live longer. We need you around.
I hope not. I want to rest for eternity.
I'll tell you. I had a dream the other night. I'll tell you about later. I don't want to start on it now, but I know how you feel, because I had a dream that I woke up crying, really wanting to go home. And then when I woke up, you know, we can tell you later if you want to, or you know,
Let's hear it.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I dreamed.
You're not. Go for it.
This is probably a good time to interject this, because it's I dreamed that I was in a car, like you were, you know, sleeping, living in a car, and it was a pretty pretty good size. I was in the back seat, and I dreamed that all of a sudden the car started moving, and I wasn't driving, and I couldn't get over the back seat. And the car was moving, 30, 40 miles an hour down this road, and it was in a little town. And I drove about a mile down the road, and all of a sudden the car left the blacktop and headed for this building. And I'm throwing my arms up, thinking that there's going to be an accident. All of a sudden, some unseen force just very easily stepped on the brakes twice, once just to let me know it was okay, and then it just came gliding right up into a parking spot. And so the next thing I knew, my old dog Skipper, who's a little black dog that got run over some years ago, and I saw him, and so I opened the door. And I said, Skipper, come on in, Skipper, and then the scene changed, and I dreamed that there were flowers growing up out of the ground. I remember red and white were the most prominent colors. And they were growing up little bunches, almost like pixels on a computer screen, and I could actually read messages from Creator on them. And they were so beautiful, and I remember just breaking out crying in the dream, saying, oh, Creator, they're so beautiful here. Life on Earth is so miserable. When am I going to get to come home? And I woke up crying, but immediately I felt like, well, I apologized to Creator. I said, sorry for being such a baby about it. And I said, this is a beautiful world, and there are a lot of people that I love here. And I told him right then, I said, when you're ready to take me, I'm ready to go, though. And then they always say, if you have a dream, you get the interpretation, you should get the interpretation right away. Well, it was pretty obvious what that dream was all about, because what Creator was telling me is, I was in the back seat, and that was good, because here lately, we're not getting a whole lot of support, but we're getting, if we run out of some groceries, every couple of days or something like that, and Betty's crying, oh, geez, we really need some help, and then we'll get exactly what we need. Or there have been 5 or 10 times when unexpected expenses have come up, and or circumstances have come up that we'll need just a few dollars, and it'll be found, or right down to the penny, and a few cents more. This has happened a bunch of times. I mean, it's so obvious that Creator's training me and my family right now to depend on Him on an hourly, daily basis, which is something I never had to do before. So anyway, the dream was telling me, hey, just stay in the back seat and trust me. But, my old dog, Skipper, I think that he was a symbol for Creator in the dream. He was the skipper, the captain, and I invited him in, which was good. So I really felt good about the dream after I figured it out. I figured, hey, I think I'm making some progress, because I've had recurring dreams for years about being in school. And it's all boring, and it's the same old thing, and so I kind of feel like things are going to change. And Gordon Bassett did a reading for Betty and I not long ago, and he said that before October we're going to meet someone that's going to help us get through till December. He says it's going to be a little bleak till December. But he felt like something was going to happen in December that was going to be very important. But he said by April, things will be moving along swimmingly. And I think I know what he's talking about. But he said both of us, since January, we're in kind of a holding pattern, And he's quite psychic. He helped the Chicago police find a serial killer, that famous John Wayne Gacy. But I sure was happy. I sure was glad to have him, because there are times, that you really need to have a little bit of insight. But I thought I'd tell you about that dream, because we talk about this quite a bit, about depending on Creator, but most people don't understand what you're talking about.
Well, but a lot of people think God is dead or doesn't exist because they can't see him.
Yep.
And this is not true, but nevertheless, that's what they think. It's their path. But your dog analysis is a pretty decent one. Here's something that is
God unseen. Fell backwards.
Well, something unseen suddenly showing up, you know.
Uh-huh.
And,
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
Our future, the future of our planet, if it continues the way, if the people continue the way we are, is so extremely bleak.
Yeah.
I tell you, to be poor now and trusting that it will all work out no matter how bad it looks at this moment is a good advanced learning for later, and it isn't much later.
Yeah.
It's just a few short years away. Things are speeding up tremendously, and I tell you, you think people that are on the street with a bag over their back and stuff like that, there come a time there won't be a bag. It's just going to be you staggering around. And the birds will bring you little bits of food, and the animals, what are left, will lead you to water, you know, just enough to quench your thirst, not to gulp. And it's happened before in the Old Testament, and it is going to happen again unless we change our ways. And 85 to 87% of all Earth's population quits working for self only and starts thinking first of others, and then, you know, always self last. There's times that we need to think about ourselves, but you still put others first and get that self and that big I out of your life. I don't even like, and you heard me, I just said I don't even like, and I don't like the word I. It should be this one. But it's difficult talking to people and inserting the word this one instead of I. But I have found, or this one has found, that I puts a spotlight right on me. And this one doesn't want that. This one is just another one of you. That's all. No greater than the greatest, and no worse than the worst. Just another one of you. And another this one, that's all. But nevertheless, if the people will start thinking about what they, I don't know, what their goals are in life, in daily life, let alone long life, you know, a new car in 2.5 years or a month or whatnot. And, you know, everybody's grasping to keep up with the Joneses. And let's face it, the money's tight. And only the extremely well off, and they're hurting, as far as they're concerned. But those lower than them by far are really hurting. And the truth of the matter is the ones that are extremely poor that can learn to trust. Anyway, they are the ones that will be the luckiest. Because you're pre-trained, you're pre-prepared for what's coming up. No electricity, no heat, no clothes, except what might be grabbable or even on your back. And I'm speaking poor. And if the Creator puts you through this now, and as hard as it is, and it can be hard, believe me, I've been in these shoes myself more than once. But if you just learn back and lean back and float in the ways of all the trials and tribulations, literally putting, you know, in a sense, literally, putting your arms behind your head and floating as if in a giant sea that's just running amok, instead of fighting the waves and wearing yourself out and eventually drowning because you are. And, boy, you're going to be so much more fortunate in our very, very near future.
Oh, yeah.
And if you can learn to do this now, if the Creator puts you in this position now, then you will be able to teach others then. They will come to you. How can you remain so peaceful? Where are you eating? How are you getting food? Where's your water coming from? I'm dead serious, folks.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to get bad, real, real bad. Never has it ever been this bad since the creation of this planet.
Right.
So, be thankful for what you have, your breath. And try to your darndest not to complain. Instead, praise. It's a learning lesson. And maybe you will be the teacher in the days soon to come and thereafter. So learn now. I've had a young man write, he wanted to prepare for the future, and he told me what he's going to do, and I laughed. I wrote him back. I said, this isn't preparing. I says, turn your TV, radio, phone off for a whole week. Don't even turn on your electricity. I said, do something with the food in your refrigerator so it doesn't spoil. And learn to eat as much raw food as you can, or to smoke food and the meats and stuff. And I said, just try it for a full week from, say, Monday until another Monday the next. And he said he was going to do it, but I don't think he's able to. And I haven't heard from him since. But it's going to be that bad. You're going to be darn lucky to have anything but being able to sit under what few branches might be on a dead tree, and to keep away from the heat or the rain or whatnot. You're going to have to learn to survive in a way that hasn't been since shortly after Adam and Eve. And I'm dead serious. They had a garden, and they were cast from it, and life got hard in a hurry. Believe me, my friends, not to scare you, and again, don't believe me, just pray about it. You would be so wise to go to the library and spend time on survival living, how to make a simple little cuddy hole out of just things on the ground, just to keep warm and things like that. Things are going to get real bad. There's not going to be very many humans left.
Probably the best book that is probably the best all-around survival guide that there is out there, bar none.
I beg to differ on you.
Well, what do you like?
Well, I do like that, but I want you to recall that things have changed, ecology has changed, rules and regulations and laws have changed. That book is excellent. If it was written in the 40s, but once the mid-50s went up, forget it. No, you need the older ones when you were allowed to cut a tree down if you had to and stuff. And go to that old one. Go find an old one. Not these new modern ones. I've looked at them and these kids can't be outdoorsmen, you know.
Yeah, last time I looked at one was in the 70s.
Yeah. Well, the old ones are excellent. These new ones, frankly, they stink. I was working for the City Park Department here about 3 years back in... college kids, university kids, were taking a survival course, and I was at this park helping repair fences and stuff. Here comes several cars and a van or two, and these university kids piling out, and they're grabbing this and grabbing that, and they spreading it out, and it looked like some form of survival course, and they sent people out to get sticks to make stretchers and all that jazz, and they came back and they were doing this and that, and you know, making the stretchers out of shirts and things, which is all right, and grabbing the rope and tying this together and that together, and yeah, that really drew my attention. So finally, my break, I walked over and asked them, "What are you kids doing?" And they told me, "We're in a survival course, and we're learning how to take care of somebody injured and this and that and blah blah blah." And I looked at him, I said, "Do you think all that stuff will work?" "Oh, sure." I said, "Are you going to be carrying everything that you have here in a situation where you're out on long hikes?" "Oh yeah." I says, "Coils of rope?" "Well, maybe not." I says, "Come on over here, I'll show you how to take these weeds and make rope." And I taught five of them. And they in turn went over to the bigger group, and all of them were taught by those five. And then they threw away the rope and started making these long, long, long ropes out of just plant fiber. And sure, you can find dead branches, and you can take off your shirt to make some form of a stretcher bedding and all that, but the rope situation's another matter. These people are not going to be carrying hemp rope all over the place. They'll be lucky to have any parachute cord.
Yeah.
But their teacher came in later, you know, late. And here they were doing this. And this is a guy who's been teaching survival evidently for quite a while as a professor. And I tell you, he looked like a professor. And he walked over and said something to him, and they pointed to me, and he gave me the dirtiest damn look. But, I mean, if these kids are going to learn survival, and if the listeners are, I'd suggest you go to the library and really read up on the way the Eskimos lived way back when. Not now. Not with even the more modern igloos that they can put up. But the old ones, 1700s and beyond. And the Vikings, the Africans, how their huts are made out of dung and straw and so forth. You're going to need that knowledge. Believe me, you're going to need it. And how to trap instead of shoot, because a gun is going to give you away. And learn how to snare. And the libraries are full of books, but don't just read it. Go out and make a mini hut, you know, out of mud and straw, or dung and mud and straw. Just, it doesn't have to be big. I'm talking about only a foot and a half high or something, a model, so that you have it not just in reading knowledge, but physical knowledge as well. And how to locate water. What anthills, big, you know these big anthills, blue water, the great big ones that almost look like a pile of sawdust.
Oh, yeah.
They're quite large. And if you find one of those, look and see if there's a line of these. Guess what? They're over an underground water source. And they get their water by digging down deep. And if you don't know how to douse for water and stuff, look to nature. And those lines of anthills actually follow a water course. And it's not a deep water course either, you know. So there's water there. Let nature teach you how. For warmth and stuff, study the squirrel. How does it keep warm in the wintertime? Go and actually study it. Look at the way nature takes care of nature. And because you are of nature, we all are, but we've forgotten. We go and are entrapped by clothes that somebody builds and puts a big price on. And my gosh, I can't even recall how many times I've stuffed my clothes in very, very cold, cold, wet situations with wet leaves between me and my skin. They were cold, yes, but in a few minutes they heated up, and shoot, I was walking around like a fat Santa Claus, but it was all this insulation. I even have taken mud and covered my body to insulate myself, including my hair and head, because a lot of heat loss is lost there. And also that mud is wonderful in the summertime. And sure, it dries and peels off, and just redo it if you can. It keeps all those bugs from biting on you. All kinds of tricks. Look at the elephant. The elephant does the same thing. It goes in, gets water, sprays it over itself, comes out, gets dust with its nose fingers, and blows it all over himself, making mud to protect himself from flies, etc. Study nature. It's fun. But try doing it, too. I've taught some survival situations to a number of people. And if you can get away with a simple loincloth, believe me, they're very comfortable. And I'd wear them in town if I didn't think that somebody would run me down and arrest me. But very comfortable. Save your clothes for when you need the clothes. Put on a loincloth. Put on a little drop cloth in front of your breast if you're a woman.
Take a Tom Brown survival course.
Oh, yeah.
You can go down to Brigham Young runs. The department I graduated from, the Youth Leadership Department, offered a major in survival. And the graduates of those courses have gone on to run all the survival schools all throughout the Rocky Mountains for the last 20 years or so. And one of the faculty members actually moved up on the Peace River, and it's got I'm trying to remember his name, something Dean, Larry Dean, something or other. I'll see if I can look it up. But
I think he's written a book or two and has got his daughter and showing how to do these things. Is
yeah.
That right?
Yeah, Tom Brown's series of books is probably the best.
Oh, yeah.
The field guys. But this
Tom Brown Jr.
Yeah, Tom Brown Jr. But this other fellow, books like... but go ahead, and I'm going to see if I can remember this guy's name, because there's a lot of really...
You're pretty close to his name. I got one or two of his books. I think I know I got one.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, take your kids out in the backyard or into the little field there in the city, and, a little lot full of glass and junk and stuff, and learn some things, and make it a fun trip for the kids, because you're teaching them to survive if we don't change our ways, and you're teaching yourself. So I would suggest that
Larry Dean Olson.
Hmm?
Larry Dean Olson.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
He graduated from the Youth Leadership Department about 8 years before I did, and he's written a lot of good books on primitive survival skills.
Oh, yeah.
Larry Dean Olson, you can get his books on Amazon.
I could recall the Larry Dean, I couldn't recall his
name. He wrote Outdoor Survival Skills, excellent book.
Mm-hmm.
right down to the dirt. He moved up on the Peace River. He believed eventually we were going to be invaded.
And we are.
He figured the invasion force would go right over his head and nothing would ever change because, you know, he's way up north on the Peace River in Canada.
It's a good possibility, right?
Yeah.
Unless the fires get him.
Yeah.
But, because there's going to be great fires all over our planet.
Yeah.
Because of the wars.
Or if the ice doesn't get him.
Or the wind.
Yeah.
Or the insects.
There'll be a lot of things. Things are changing.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
Well, I tell you, those insects are going to come at you, and they are edible.
Yeah.
As for insects up in Canada, boy, I went up in the muskeg. The friendliest mosquitoes you ever saw in your life. They just grab your hand and shake it, and and you can't see hardly a lick of skin. They're just shaking your hand.
Oh, my word.
Good Lord, what a miserable place to be, and nowhere to get mud. But I was smart. I was the only one in the whole lot of all Indians and one other guy, a black man, with me. I took a pullover with a hood, and as hot as it was, I was the one having less problems. And another thing I did is I made a headband and hung, in this case, I hung beads on it. But you can hang feathers in a little rock or something and just put them all around the headband. And that's what I did. And as I was walking, those are swinging, keeping the bugs from my face. And I simply put my hands within the long sleeve pullover. So I was pretty darn comfortable compared to the others. And it's really bad to see Native people that are used to that just beating themselves to death. I was pretty protected. But that poor black guy, this friend of mine, good Lord, I don't know. They thought, look, white meat, and came to me and couldn't get through it. And they said, hey, darker meat. And this guy
was
in bad shape.
They were taking his B1 capsule. They'll stay away from you and take B1.
Well, I like to soak my clothes in vinegar and drink vinegar three days before I go out. But I didn't have a chance. I didn't know what I was facing either.
Oh, and the muskeg?
Oh, gee, what a...
Oh, that's where they made those commercials for off insect repellents.
Every time you step down, you're sinking at best just 2.5 inches, you know, but sometimes well beyond your ankles. And holy mackerel, it's unbelievable. But that little headband, those Indians sure laughed at me. The kids didn't. But the adults did, and I said, hey, the Aborigines in Australia are the ones that came up with this. And if you can look and quit laughing, I said, you're the ones hitting your face. Am I slapping mine? And it kind of shut them up.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we all are going to be facing a lot of different things in our very near future. And you better start learning now or get your life right with the Creator. But remember, 85% to 87% of all mankind, those that live way off in the boonies of the jungles, to the Arabs on their camels, to everybody. If we can get our lives right with the Creator, then we can put off what will happen. And it will happen to our children or grandchildren or great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. But we can stop it. It just doesn't look like it's going to be, though.
Well, I understand you went to some very, very sacred places and you were in and out of helicopters. And
No, not a helicopter. Man. That's the one thing I didn't get on. Float planes, regular planes, different kinds of boats, and ocean going, larger craft.
Wow.
Yeah. And, all these sacred places, the Crees have decided that, yes, they have to learn it. And the Crees in general, not all, have learned that, yes, their last holdings, the things that they have held from the white man, they've got to share it because it was given to them to share for the world at this time. And they're doing it. And they'll probably go up at least two more times, God's willing, and literally, if he will, and money supplies that... If the Creator wills it, the money will come. If he doesn't, then it's not his will, or I'm to hitchhike or walk. But, if it's to be, it will be, no matter how.
We're the lottery winner when you need one.
Mm-hmm. Right now I'd be satisfied with just enough to get us out of debt.
Yep.
So I can turn around and get in debt. I need a decent freight canoe for this work. I could sure use a good gyrocopter. It would save a lot of time. But I'm too old to fly. You know, I've had one heart attack, one stroke. And though I'd love to have one and say I can fly from X to L. But nevertheless, there's other ways. And maybe the Creator will allow me to use it. I've learned it. Teleportation. Flow, the levitation. I teach it. And got a Cree with me. I brought a Cree down. I'm 62. And in all these years, I never thought I'd find an apprentice that actually had the calling I've had.
Yeah, I think he answered the phone. Young fellow with a Canadian accent.
Yeah.
Is Grandfather Alex still there with you?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
Alex is up in Saskatchewan. I'm not with him, basically.
Oh, I thought he was there for a while. I guess that's wrong. I heard wrong.
No, he's never been to my place. But people are contacting Alex Kahaneke in Saskatchewan up by Shell Lake, Little Shell Lake area, the res up there. And saying we got a spot for Red Elk, and so he's collecting these spots on paper, and then I'll be going up again, I'm pretty sure, probably two more times. But meanwhile, I've got to come home and get this NIMO, get this place ready for winter, because I'm gone most of the year, or so darn busy, I've got no time to cut grass or anything. But and it looks like I'm going to be doing a tremendous amount of traveling.
Yeah.
Not just through Canada and U.S., but overseas as well. So.
Well, did you hear about, I don't know whether you've heard of Grandfather Blue Wolf.
No.
But I interviewed him last week. He is a Lower Creek from Georgia.
Hmm.
And he said that from the time he was a little boy, his grandfather told him the story about just before the Trail of Tears, and the Muscogee Creek walked it along with the Cherokees and others. But they said that there were some sacred songs and information that was vouchsafed in the dream time. And He hears these stories all the time when he was growing up, and he said not too long ago, a woman who is known as the Rain Queen Mojaji of South Africa contacted him. She was in the dream time, and just like Blue Wolf's grandfather said, that someday people that would be able to go into the dream time would find these, and he always thought it would be his own people, this woman found this information, and when she came out of dream time, she threw the bones and found out who he was and his location and contacted him. So they got a delegation leaving the United States here on the 7th, and they're going to be going to Africa to retrieve this information. So they're leaving Tuesday and coming back 2 weeks from Wednesday, and going to be some exciting stuff. So we should have Grandfather Blue Wolf said he was going to see if he can arrange that we can get some interviews with some elders in Africa, and some exciting things are happening. I hope you get a chance to listen to that show.
Well, I've got some sad news.
Oh, what's going on?
I still can't get on your radio show. I hit the buttons today and stuff, and it just doesn't work for me. I have no idea what's going on there.
All you got to do is
send me the information of upcomers, and there's a few that I would dearly love to hear, but I don't know. It just doesn't work.
Well, I sent you the. There are other people that are in a similar situation, and I sent you all 24 or 5, I guess at the time, interviews, and you did get those to play one time, but you have a tough time getting on the internet because you've got a real old machine.
I don't. It's only 4.5 years old.
And well, that's nowadays that's ancient for a machine.
You're kidding.
Oh yeah.
I paid almost $2,000 for that.
I know. You can get a machine that's 50 times faster than that for about a quarter of what you paid for that one.
No, I won't get it 50 times faster. No, would I? I'm the last house in this town.
Oh yeah, I think you have as I recall, your internet connection was running less than 20,000 baud.
21.
Yeah, that's awful low. That's awful low for.
Oh yeah, I got a Commodore 64 here.
Yeah. I'll keep sending you discs with the interviews on, so you can listen to them. And
as you can afford, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. No problem.
But that sounds really interesting because the Moccasin Telegraph is saying that a number of states elders, United States elders, are saying, hey, we're not right. We got to start opening this stuff up to the peoples. And they're getting slammed by the people who say, no, this is ours, this is ours. And no, they're killing everybody off, including their own, by hanging on to these things.
Yeah.
This was given ages ago by the Creator, and he made sure that the Indian race, no matter African Indian or American Indian or South American Indian or Laplander Indian or whatnot, that they remained alive and still retained a lot of the knowledge. And he made sure that they stayed alive. And it wasn't to hoard the knowledge, I'll tell you that. He made sure because he'd given them a special duty. And those who are hoarding it now are going totally against his will.
Yeah, you can't tell them that, though.
Nope. Pride.
Tell them that.
Pride goes before a fall, and boy, I tell you, they're going to fall flat on the top of their head and taking their kids with them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I know, it's the angry Indian mentality.
Well, I'm part Indian. I call myself a breed. Because I am, as a matter of fact, most of the people of the world are breeds. There's hardly a true Laplander or a true African. There's more of those than there are here, but generally, we're multi-blooded.
Oh, yeah.
And we're breeds. and I'm French, Irish, Shoshone, and Blackfeet, or Blackfoot, and I can't help it. I didn't have any choice in the way I was born or the bloodline.
That's right.
But nevertheless, in the Indian world, up there, the Crees are pretty danged honest, and I've been in a couple of great big meetings, you know, I'm privy of it, and they've all admitted there's way back somewhere in their own personal, each personal bloodline, there was a white man in the woodpile somewhere.
Yeah.
And they all call themselves full-blooded, but I haven't met a Cree that ever admits that he or she is totally a full blood. They all have some kind of their bloodline in them.
Oh, yeah.
Down here, oh, hell no, man. They're red. They got to be full blood. And see, I had one guy here quite recently wanted to meet me, so made arrangements, met him, sat for close to 2 hours. I bought him the food, and it wasn't a big meal, but I, you know, sat and chatted, the so-called full blood, and I told him honestly, my name, Red Elk, was given in ceremony, and I was told to make it legal, which I am legally now, Red Elk, Tatsa Shishke. And I told him at one time, you know, most of my life I've been a cartoonist, and as a Hayoka at the time, and still am, by the way, but we're clowns, and we, you know, healing is, a lot of healing is done through laughter. When people laugh, they forget how bad they feel.
That's right.
And so as a cartoonist, I, you know, selling literally worldwide, and I gave myself a pen name. Now, I told him I gave myself a name. It was Two Buffalo Poots, quite fitting for a cartoonist. But I told him this is my ceremony name, and it is my name, legal. My mother forced us, all of the family, to, you know, her children, to take white names. And so I was raised with a white name that I detested. And it was real easy. We were not allowed to use any of our Indian names. My mother's Indian last name was Heron, the bird Heron, and she, you know, in the days when she was growing up, to be Indian was to be worse than a black man with a derogatory name of a black man. So she told everybody she was Egyptian. And
you grew up in Washington?
Oh, well, I left at 4.
Oh, you're from Michigan.
No, I'm from Washington, but I was raised in Michigan.
Oh.
And in and around Detroit. And but nevertheless, my legal name is Red Elk. And it's legal on every piece of paper I have, Social Security, driver's license, and whatnot. Anyway, this dipshit got on one of these tiny little local radio stations that go out about 20, 25 miles around, you know. And boy, did he slam me. Oh, gee. I'm not a medicine man. I gave myself my own name, referring to Red Elk. And he told the whole world my white name, which doesn't exist as far as I'm concerned. And he just slapped one side and down the other, and he even said that I'm just out for money, that I'm selling media rights, you know. And I don't know where he got that from. He can't read. I'm not selling any, you know, media rights, media rights. On the front page, it says, on a piece of the heaven. It's a link, and it's to sell meteor rights. The dingbat can't read with us.
Yeah.
But then he just slammed me for well over an hour and dared me. He said, why doesn't he come on the air and defend himself? Well, I'm almost 280 miles away. I didn't know he was on the air. Nobody called to inform me. He didn't. And I had a witness with me at that table, who's quite willing to come on. Well, I could sue this guy and tell he's got nothing but dirty skivvies. But I'm more of a man than that. And so people are going to think what they're going to think. As for not being a medicine man, it's not traditional to say you're a medicine man, but I am not a traditionalist. I belong to another society that goes purity. And tradition began out of purity. And
be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of wisefoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfast and 10 delicious dinner entrees from wisefoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year's supply from wisefoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why.
And so, nevertheless, all that information is on my webpage, for God's sake, so people would really take time to read it. And I got lessons for sale, but nothing that you can't find in a book if you look.
Right.
And I tell people you're buying me, you know, paying me to do your dang homework. I don't sell sacred medicine things. There's things I know I'm not even going to keep this creed unless Dad himself tells me to.
Well, if folks are listening to this interview, they can click right on the link and without stopping the interview, they can still hear it. If they click on the link that says read more or go to Mr. Reddock's website, they can get on the website right now. It'll open up a new page. And they can still hear the interview sound. The folks, don't be afraid to do that.
Yeah, my website is www.redelk.org, I believe it is.
I think I've got your redelk.net flag.
Yeah, I've got a forum on one and the website on the other.
Redelk.net/website.
I don't write that in, but maybe they have to. But,
I got the correct link on the radio interview page. All I have to do is just click on it, and it'll take them to it.
Hi, hi.
Right under your picture.
Hi, hi. But if people would take the time to read everything, go into my archives, go into frequently asked questions, go into everything, then you get a good understanding that I'm not, I'm telling the truth about what I'm talking about. And, like I say, I tell people don't buy these if you can't get in a child like mine. And you don't need to buy them if you just find out how to find it for yourself. And, get it for free. I don't care, but here it is. If you're too dang lazy, then pay me. You're paying me to do your homework. Why should I give it away? I got to live somehow.
Yeah. Well, I do the same thing. All the information about the prophecies is available absolutely free at Wovoka.com. But you mentioned, it's a good idea to get some survival information. So what I did is I just organized it, put it on CD, all the information that the elders have said over the years that they want people to have, along with all kinds of other information, manuals and everything from nuclear war survival to you name it, all kinds of different situations and you know, recipes and how to forage for food, how to find water, and you can find it or a jumping off place. This is the better information on the Prophecy Keeper CD ROMs.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Listeners, whoever you are, Indian or whatnot, it doesn't matter. Don't believe what I tell you. What I say is that I teach these things. I sell the lessons and stuff. And a lot, many medicine people are really down on me because I'm selling secrets. Hell, if it's in a book, what's so sacred about it? You know? And what's so secret about it?
Yeah, that's right.
And I've got right at about 4 tons of how-to books. I'm always looking into and buying books, and you'd be amazed what's out there, that one Indian has said a little bit about this, and another one has said a little bit about the same thing, and eventually you get the whole darn ways, you know. But and I've got that kind of a memory on books. I can't remember where I put my cigarettes half the time. And but on books, I've got an astounding memory. And they're all in books. Everything that I tell about and sell are already in books. And go out and buy 4 tons of them and enjoy yourself, or pay me for a lesson. It's up to you. I don't give a damn. It's just an opportunity for those that want that opportunity.
That's right.
You know, the lazy ones, if you want. The ones that are in a hurry, if you want.
You can't get much more respect than Mad Bear Anderson. Mad Bear is universally credited as being the founder of the modern Indian Unity Movement. And he was the one that said that someday somebody needed to go worldwide and put all the prophecies in one place. And, but you know, anybody that ever worked in the area, whether it was Sun Bear or Rolling Thunder or Ghost Wolf, they all get savaged by these people. Everybody says, oh, this is horrible, this is terrible. You know, never mind that the Hopi Elder says it's okay. Never mind that, a lot of elders say it's okay. You know, if you're running around with a red beret on your hat, you know, you're hearing a red beret on your head, you know, you're hearing from your compadres, oh, this is sacred information, and, you know, and they're going to get all mad and angry about it. Well, I'm sorry, folks, that's just incorrect. And if you don't believe...
Yeah, the fact is, much of this stuff is literally already long ago written down.
That's right.
And you're just being ignorant and arrogant with a kind of an attitude.
You
it
have
doesn't matter if you're red or white.
Glad Skenandoah is one of the founders of AIM.
Yeah,
and that's
know,
what he talks about when he goes around.
The red web.
He talks about the prophecies, and but they still insist on, you know, it's just like a pack of wolves. They insist on, you know, they catch somebody a little bit unawares on the edge of the flock, and they, you know, go after him and try to get him. It's cowardly. It's just cowardly the way you know, some elders are treated. Yourself.
Oh, I tell you, you'd be surprised. My life has been threatened. My wife, my daughter, and my grandchildren' lives have been threatened. That's basically, it's a bunch of words. But, you know, somebody out there just might pop up and try to do something about it.
I'm not.
But I don't take my orders from any dang human being. None of us 12 in Ohio could. Our orders and our boss is the Creator himself or herself. No sense. But strictly from the Creator. Strictly. And so that steps on a lot of traditionalist foes. But again, tradition started from purity. At one time, every human being on the planet used a way of purity. And then slowly got away of it. And the whites first, believe it or not.
That's right.
And so the whites are in technology. Look at, we're gods. Look at, we made this, we made that. God said, you create, you know, ye are as gods, little g. That means that you can make things. like he did. But the white man says we are the inventors, even taking away the word create from what God says it is. And how can they create anything if the creator himself hadn't supplied the material to do it?
That's right.
And when, like that one joke I told, get your own dirt, when the scientist said he could make man, and God says, come back, and he grabbed a handful of dirt, and God said, wait a minute, and the scientist turned and said, what? And God said, get your own dirt. You know, man can't make a damn thing. All man can do is rearrange.
Right.
And the white man is, above all others, the so-called civilized, you know, they take great claims. And we people, not necessarily me, but I'm still bad at it, you know, we're enslaved to the car.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the gas, the oil, the insurance, all the stuff the government pushes down on you just to have the privilege of paying somebody who created something, but no, invented it. And it just goes on. We're a world of enslaved people. And don't even realize it.
Oh, yeah.
You can levitate. Believe me, you can levitate. At the screen, just two nights ago, he lifted right up off his bed for the first time. Not in out of body. I'm talking body. And he's the eighth person out of many that I've taught. And I taught over the air at Art Bell. I think they had 22.6 million listeners. And only eight people have learned. And many of the, or not many, but a number of those who have learned have asked me, you know, what do we do with this? And I said, that's why we don't do it. It's, we learn it if we need to use it, but not to show off. One guy, he goes 3 meters, I think he says, high.
Oh,
where that is. In his backyard, and just floats all over the backyard in the middle of the night, so nobody would shoot at him.
Well, I know, I sure dreamt about it a lot of times.
Pardon me, what?
I have dreamt about levitating.
Oh, a lot of people dream about it. Well, quit dreaming. All those dreams mean is that you're quite capable of it. And it's basic. I'll save any listener now the $33 lesson. Get into the childlike mind. And a child can make believe anything. And it becomes true to the child. That's what you got to do. And don't say can't or related words. Can't, hope, maybe, think, might, believe, will, you know. Don't take those negative words. And go to I am flying. And get up here and forget that that's what you're trying to do. Just have fun jumping up and down. I am flying. And you'll stay up. If you forget what you're trying to do and just remember to be a kid. You will stay up somewhere along the line. But when you try to do it, that's the I. And I'm trying. And no way. That's just saying, I am God, and I can do it that dang well, please. And God ain't going to let you do it. But when you forget that, and just remember being a kid, being a little 4 or 5 year old, just remember that. And get from I will fly to I am flying. I am flying. There's one guy that I just told about. It's on my website. And go to the lessons and read it. He finally remembered that as a little child, he wanted to be like Superman or fly. So he walked around, you know, as an adult, saying, you know, up, up, and away. And danged if he didn't get up, up, and away. But like anything, you have to practice to make it instantaneous or within just a few minutes at most. And he's done so. There's a lot of things that are for sale on my webpage and website, rather. But, and there are a few people that, with a vote for calls and well wrote actually, substantiating that what I told is the truth, and they do it. But I had a documentary thing here just a few days ago, and they started asking me questions above and beyond what it was about, and they wanted me to fly for them. I told them, hell, you ain't no damn God. I said, I take my orders from God, not you people. I said, if he wants me to fly, he ain't nothing going to stop me. But just because you want to see it and film it, I said, go see that guy that's on TV in downtown Las Vegas that does it. Because the guy does do it. It's not trickery. But he's making money off of it. No, I'm not here for show and tell. I'm here to tell, to teach. You show yourself. If you got the ability to grow a child like mine, you show yourself. Doubting Thomas, unless I see him with my own eyes and put my hands in his fingers in his sword, you know, his metal holes, I ain't going to believe that, lo and behold, the Creator's Son, the Creator himself in the Son form, walked through a door or through a wall, not a demon. So here I am, you know, do it. And he says, oh, my Lord and my God, and that's a great thing, Creator. And the man form said, blessed more are those who don't have to see to believe. And believe means accept, rely on, adhere to. That doesn't mean connotation of doubt.
Understand that the Creator did leave a few things that you could actually see where he had been and had an audience of animals around him. Can you tell us about that? I heard about
that. Oh, yeah. One of the jobs that I was going to do.
And if you can't speak up as loud as you can, you're fading a little bit.
One of the jobs that I was called to Canada for was to follow Christ's footsteps. The Crees have, not myths, but stories that there are certain places that this one called the Pell and the Pell teacher, they called him the brother or big brother.
The Sacatak?
I think that's one of them, yeah. Every nation across the United States and Canada, separate nations, had a different name for him, but it all basically meant Big Brother. Every single name basically meant Big Brother. And they had sacred sites where Big Brother had stood here and did this and did that. And I found three of them. Two of them with his actual footprints burned into the stone. And I did a time travel trip, and yep, it was him. It kind of surprised me to find out how young he was when he was here. Old 24, 27 years old. At least he looked about that age. And he would stand there and concentrate, and a bell-like aura would come around him and anything within that aura. And their feet, be it a bird's foot or a raccoon, and in this one spot, many different animals and birds, as well as his feet, were branded into this actual stone, burned, and didn't hurt anybody. And nevertheless, there's seven places known throughout Canada that this has occurred. I've actually witnessed two of the places where these footsteps are burned. And the reason that I was, you know, having such a rough time, that towards the end of my 2 months that I stumbled across it, was accidental. You know, we didn't know about it, and it stopped in, and lo and behold, an elder told us about this spot, and it wasn't far away, and we went to it. And it was a stone, I did time travel. That's how I find out how to do these things, you know, do these ceremonies and so forth. And then I take them. And anyway, in this one case, in a city of all places, a river was running through the city, and the story went that a Christian church had built there and destroyed a special stone. And they've been bemoaning the fact ever since. They said that the story is that the Christian people gathered together and pried this stone out of the earth and rolled it into the river.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
Nevertheless, all that information is on my webpage, for God's sake, so people would really take time to read it. And I've got lessons for sale, but nothing that you can't find in a book if you look.
Right.
And I tell people you're buying me, you know, paying me to do your danged homework. I don't sell sacred medicine things. There's things I know I'm not even going to teach this priest unless Dad himself tells me to.
Well, if folks are listening to this interview, they can click right on the link and without stopping the interview, they can still hear it. If they click on the link that says read more or go to the Redux website, they can get on the website right now. It'll open up a new page, and they can still hear the interview sound. So, folks, don't be afraid to do that.
Yeah, my website is www.redelk.com. Org, I believe it is.
I think I've got you at redelk.net/.
Yeah, I've got a forum on one and the website on the other.
Yeah, redelk.net/website.
I don't write that in, but maybe they have to. But
I got the correct link on the radio interview page. All they have to do is just click on it, and it'll take them to it. It says
hi.
Right under your picture.
Hi. But if people would take the time to read everything, go into my archives, and go into frequently asked questions, go into everything, then you get a good understanding that I'm not, I'm telling the truth about what I'm talking about. And, like I say, I tell people don't buy these if you can't get in a childlike mind. And you don't need to buy them if you just find out how to find it for yourself. And, get it for free. I don't care, but here it is. If you're too dang lazy, then pay me. You're paying me to do your homework. Why should I give it away? I got to live somehow.
Yeah. Well, and I do the same thing. All the information about the prophecies is available absolutely free at Wovoka.com. But you mentioned, it's a good idea to get some survival information. So what I did is I just organized it, put it on CD, all the information that the elders have said over the years that they want people to have, along with all kinds of other information, manuals and everything from nuclear war survival to you know, you name it, all kinds of different situations and you know, recipes and how to forage for food, how to find water, and you can find it or a jumping off place to some better information on the Prophecy Keeper CD-ROMs.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Listeners, whoever you are, Indian or whatnot, it doesn't matter. Don't believe what I tell you. What I say is that I teach these things. I sell lessons and stuff, and many medicine people are really down on me because I'm selling secrets. Hell, if it's in a book, what's so sacred about it? You know? And what's so secret about it?
Yeah, that's right.
And I've got right at about 4 tons of how-to books. I'm always looking into and buying books, and you'll be amazed what's out there, that one Indian has said a little bit about this, and another one has said a little bit about the same thing, and eventually you get the whole darn ways, you know, but and I've got that kind of a memory on books. I can't remember where I put my cigarettes half the time, but on books, I've got an astounding memory, and they're all in books. Everything that I tell about and sell are already in books. And,
same here.
Go out and buy 4 tons of them and enjoy yourself, or pay me for a lesson. It's up to you. I don't give a dang. It's just an opportunity for those that want that opportunity.
That's right.
You know, the lazy ones, if you want. The ones that are in a hurry, if you want.
We can't get much more respect than Mad Bear Anderson. Mad Bear is universally credited as being the founder of the modern Indian Unity Movement. And he was the one that said that someday somebody needed to go worldwide and put all the prophecies in one place. And but you know, anybody that ever worked in the area, whether it was Sun Bear or Rolling Thunder or Ghost Wolf, they all get savaged by these people. Everybody says, "Oh, this is horrible. This is terrible." You know. Never mind that the Hopi Elder says it's okay. Never mind that a lot of elders say it's okay. You know, if you're running around with a red beret on your hat, you know, you're hearing a red beret on your head, you know, you're hearing from your compadres, "Oh, this is sacred information," and, you know, and they're going to get all mad and angry about it. Well, I'm sorry, folks, that's just incorrect. And if you don't believe...
Yeah, the fact is, much of this stuff is literally already long ago written down.
That's right.
And you're just being ignorant and arrogant with a kind of an attitude.
You have
it doesn't matter if you're red or white.
Rod Scannandell is one of the founders of AIM.
Yeah,
and
I know.
What he talks about when he goes around.
The red web.
He talks about the prophecies, and but they still insist on, you know, it's just like a pack of wolves. They insist on, you know, they catch somebody a little bit unawares on the edge of the flock, and they, you know, go after him and try to get him, and it's cowardly. It's just cowardly the way you know, some elders are treated. Yourself.
Oh, I tell you, you'd be surprised. My life has been threatened. My wife, my daughter, and my grandchildren' lives have been threatened. But, basically, it's a bunch of words. But, you know, somebody out there just might pop up and try to do something about it.
I'm not.
But I don't take my orders from any dang human being. None of us 12 in Ohio could do. Our orders and our boss is the Creator himself or herself, no sense, but strictly from the Creator, strictly. And so that steps on a lot of traditionalist toes, but again, tradition started from purity. At one time, every human being on the planet knew the way of purity, and then slowly got away from it. And the whites first, believe it or not.
That's right.
And so the whites are in technology. Look at, we're God. Look at, we made this, we made that. God said, you create, you know, ye are as gods, little g. That means that you can make things, like he did. But the white man says, we are the inventors. Even taking away the word create from what God says it is. And how can they create anything if the Creator himself hadn't supplied the material to do it?
That's right.
And when, like that one joke I told, get your own dirt, when a scientist said he could make man, and God says, come back, and he grabbed a handful of dirt, and God said, wait a minute, and the scientist turned and said, what? And God said, get your own dirt. You know, but man can't make a damn thing. All man can do is rearrange.
Right.
And the white man, is, above all others, the so-called civilized, you know, they take great claims. And we people, not necessarily me, but I'm still bad at it, you know, we're enslaved to the car.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the gas, the oil, the insurance, all the stuff the government pecks and pushes down on you just to have the privilege of paying somebody who created something, but no, invented it. And it just goes on. We're a world of enslaved people. And don't even realize it.
Oh, yeah.
You can levitate. Believe me, you can levitate. At this Cree, just two nights ago, he lifted right up off his bed for the first time. Not in out of body. I'm talking body. And he's the eighth person out of many that I've taught. And I taught over the air at Art Bell. At, I think they had 22.6 million listeners. And only eight people have learned. And many of the, or not many, but a number of those who have learned have asked me, you know, what do we do with it? And I said, that's why we don't do it. It's, we learn it if we need to use it, but not to show off. One guy, he goes 3 meters, I think he says, high.
Oh, I work.
That is. In his backyard and just floats all over the backyard in the middle of the night so nobody would shoot at him.
Well, I know. I sure dreamt about it a lot of times.
Pardon me, what?
I have dreamt about levitating.
Oh, a lot of people dream about it. Well, quit dreaming. All those dreams mean is that you're quite capable of it. And it's basic. I'll save any listener now the $33 lesson. Get into the childlike mind, and a child can make believe anything, and it becomes true to the child. That's what you got to do. And don't say can't or related words. Can't, hope, maybe, think, might, believe, will, you know. Don't think
your
those
path.
Negative words. And go to I am flying and get out there and forget that that's what you're trying to do. Just have fun jumping up and down. I am flying. And you'll stay up. If you forget what you're trying to do and just remember to be a kid, you will stay up somewhere along the line. But when you try to do it, that's the I. And I'm trying. And no way. That's just saying, I am God, and I can do it that dang well, please. And God ain't going to let you do it. But when you forget that, and just remember being a kid, being a little 4 or 5 year old, just remember that. And get from I will fly to I am flying. I am flying. There's one guy that I just told about. It's on my website. And go to the lessons and read it. He finally remembered that as a little child, he wanted to be like Superman and fly. So he walked around, you know, as an adult, saying, you know, up and away, and danged if he didn't get up and away. But like anything, you have to practice to make it instantaneous or within just a few minutes at most, and he's done so. But there's a lot of things that are for sale on my webpage, and website rather, but and there are a few people that what they wrote or called, and well wrote actually, substantiating that what I've told is the truth, and they do it. But I had a documentary thing here just a few days ago, and they started asking me questions above and beyond what it was about, and they wanted me to fly for them. I told them, hell, you ain't no damn God. I said, I take my orders from God, not you people. I said, if he wants me to fly, he ain't nothing going to stop me. But just because you want to see it and film it, I said, go see that guy that's on TV in Dallas, Las Vegas that does it, because the guy does do it. It's not trickery. But he's making money off of it. I'm not here for show and tell. I'm here to tell, to teach. You show yourself if you got the ability to go into a child like mine. You show yourself. Doubting Thomas, unless I see him with my own eyes and put my hands in his fingers in his sword, you know, his nail holes, I ain't gonna believe. And lo and behold, the Creator's Son, the Creator himself in the Son form, walked through a door or through a wall, not opening it, and said, here I am, you know, do it. And he says, oh, my Lord and my God, and that's a great thing, Creator. In the man form, said, blessed more are those who don't have to see to believe. And believe means accept, rely on, adhere to. That doesn't mean connotation of doubt.
Well, I understand,
back then it didn't.
Understand that the Creator did leave a few things that you could actually see where he had been, and had an audience of animals around him. Can you tell us about that? I heard about that.
Oh, yeah. One of the jobs that I was called
to. And if you can't speak up as loud as you can, you're fading a little bit.
One of the jobs that I was called to Canada for was to follow Christ's footsteps. The Crees have, what do you call it, not myths, but stories that there are certain places that this one called the Pell and the Pell Teacher, they called him the brother or big brother.
Wisakajak?
I think that's one of them, yeah. Every nation across the United States and Canada, separate nations, had a different name for him, but it all basically meant big brother. Every single name basically meant big brother. And they had sacred sites where big brother had stood here and did this and did that. And I found three of them, two of them with his actual footprints burned into the stone. And I did a time travel trip, and yep, it was him. It kind of surprised me to find out how young he was when he was here. 24, 27 years old. At least he looked about that age. And he would stand there and concentrate, and a bell-like aura would come around him and anything within that aura. And their feet, be it a bird's foot or a raccoon, and in this one spot, many different animals and birds, as well as his feet, were branded into the actual stone, burned, and didn't hurt anybody. And nevertheless, there's seven places known throughout Canada that this has occurred. I've actually witnessed two of the places, two of the places where these footsteps are burned. And that the reason that I was having such a rough time that towards the end of my 2 months that I stumbled across. It was accidental. You know, we didn't know about it, and but stopped in, and lo and behold, an elder told us about this spot, and it wasn't far away, and we went to it. And it was a stone. I did time travel. That's how I find out how to do these things, you know, do these ceremonies and so forth. And then I taped them. And anyway, in this one case, in a city of all places, a river was running through the city, and the story went that a Christian church had built there and destroyed a special stone. And they've been bemoaning the fact ever since. They said that the story is that the Christian people gathered together and pried the stone out of the earth and rolled it into the river. And lo and behold, it was true.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
And as I went to check on it, this time I was able to take Alex Canahue and the elder, I can't recall his name offhand, that had taken us there. I was able to take those two out of a number that was around the
It wasn't Jim Bob, was it?
No. But anyway, I was able to take them on the time trip so they could see we were all standing there more or less like ghosts looking at... We weren't looking at ghosts. We were back in time and seeing what was going on. And the Christ had stood on the stone and sat down on it with his knees bent. And pulled down his robe, and he always wears moccasins when I see him up there. I don't see sandals, but he's got that robe. And nevertheless,
and he took a. You say he took a charred something?
Well, I should say shard.
Oh,
my mistake. Of the stone that he was sitting on, and flat stone with some roughness on it, and he deliberately cut his right thumb. Right at the lower joint, and held his hand, you know, just between his legs there, and let the blood drip on the stone until he had quite a bit of blood there. Then he stood up, placed both his feet together in the blood, and started the East, and started giving prayer and honor to the spirit of the East, just like we, the Native American, but. He just gave a slight stop to each of the four directions, very slight, but continued slowly around a clockwise way and literally smearing the blood with his feet. He wasn't taking big steps. He was just kind of smushing the blood into the rock and saying a prayer that audibly was a blessing for those from here to the hills around him and beyond the hills. And literally smearing all that blood into a much bigger area simply because he's taken tiny little sideways steps in a circle. And the next thing I was shown was an Indian woman coming to this stone long after he'd done it. I don't know how long, but, you know, not the next day, but certainly a number of years later. And she had a blood flow problem. She couldn't stop bleeding. And she laid with her stomach and lower stomach upon the center of the rock and pleaded with the Creator to please heal her. And she was healed.
Wow.
And I was showing Indians from every direction, I mean literally in a circle, walking with sticks, people helping them, people carrying them, one guy or two guys actually running, you know, to get to the stone for the healing. Well, nevertheless, the in time, a Christian church built a building there, sensing it was a special spot, and certainly seeing the Indians come to that spot, and then realized that nobody was going into their church building. They were all going to the dang rock, so they dug it up and rolled it into the river and destroyed it in that sense. And but that happened about 1911, somewhere in that area, 07 to 1911. Anyway, since that time, though, the riverbed has gotten deeper, and the river literally moved away from where the rock was at. Now it's all on dry land, a good 400 or better feet away from where the church had stood. Now a house was there. And nevertheless, the house, the rock is on dry land. And I told Alex and the elder, I said, you stay here, I'll show you exactly where the rock is at. And I walked over and put my feet right upon the stone. And I said, it's 3 to 3.5 feet below us. And the elder says, I got it, Red Elk. I can actually see it. And yes, you can look into the earth. And anyway, because he was around me, I guess he was, I don't know, maybe the Creator gave him the ability to see, but I could see that stuff, and he was seeing what I'm seeing. Anyway, I told him to send the runner, and Alex knew what that meant, and sent the gentleman over, another native, who grabbed a big stone and made a good sized circle around me, and then deliberately right around my feet, and then I moved my feet, and they put the stone in the middle like a bullseye. And the chief says, I'm going to the city, White City Council, and tell them they got a spot here we want to dig up, we'll fill it. And he says, if they don't give us permission, we'll do it anyway. And he was real excited. The other Indians with him were equally excited. And they're going to retrieve that stone and bring it back into a working stone again. Now, this one did not have Christ's footsteps burned into it, but it got his blood burned into it, in a sense, soaked into it. And I told him that when you dig the stone up, don't leave it here. Take it to your own reservation and put it in the same position that you see in the ground right now, or rather that you saw before it was rolled, so that everything's in alignment. And this elder knows, he was there, he saw everything too, so he knows exactly what direction, how far up out of the ground this rock stood, and they will put it on a reservation so the white man doesn't get it and blow it up or crash it with a car or a bunch of idiots come along and break it to pieces. And because it doesn't matter the exact location, what matters is the object. And so it's
you know,
go on the reservation. Now, the odd thing is as I began this ceremony in the city, one of the Indians said, look, and everybody looked at me, I was busy, and there was an eagle less than a half mile away flying around. And they said, it's so rare to see an eagle. But as I started into the prayer, the eagle started spiraling and landed about 800 feet in a tall tree right across from us. I paid no attention. I did see the eagle. I looked up, and they're a beautiful thing. Big, big, white head, white tail. Beautiful thing. And a huge bird right up in the top of this tree. Well, I'm busy with my ceremony, so I started in on that. I didn't pay attention to the bird, but as I would begin to pray, the bird would spread its wings in a drooping fashion and lower its head. When I quit praying, it would tighten up its wings and look up, and when I start again, do the same. This happened three times in the three parts of the ceremony I had to do. And that bird stayed there and was still there after we left, watching us as we left.
Mm.
And this just got all kinds of people's attention. So that sacred site is open, or soon to be, you know. And again, they wanted me to come up and do ceremony, and I said, why? You already know how to do it. I'm not writing any damn book, and I've done what I'm supposed to do, and I told you what to do with it. You carry it out, you're in fine shape, goodbye. You know. But it's been very interesting. I've closed a lot of very ugly spots where souls were trapped, and people were killed in various types of accidents for years and years. And I closed a lot of bad, evil sites and opened a lot of good ones.
Well, that's sure good to hear. That's sure good to hear. So you took about every manner of land and air transportation that there was.
Well, not helicopter, not glider, you know. But I sure took a lot. And when I crossed, I started getting the Canadian news. And they're in a place called Regina, and I believe Saskatchewan, a city called Regina. A little five-year-old girl had been taken from her bedroom. And it really got on my heart. And I ended up being called and asked to come to this city to help. And I went and did a distant viewing. I saw who did it. I saw how it was done and what happened and afterwards. But even saw where the girl was at the moment. And we put out a huge search. And I found a house that looked everything was identical except the color of the house had been rather recently painted at the time I was looking at it with her in it. It was unpainted or very faded, mustardy yellow with the brown trim. And lo and behold, we did find this house, but it was newly painted. But everything surrounding it, everything, the things that I was showing, the creek, the bridge, this big orange circle next to the creek, everything, the shape of the house, the height of it, two-story, you know. Everything was there, except the color wasn't the same. And anyway, the little girl, if she was there, and there's quite a number of indications that she's been there. It looked like something to do with drugs the mother was in, and turned out this house was quite a ways out in the country from the city slum area where the little girl disappeared from in her mom's home. And it turned out that just a few days before all of this, the mother was there, and which was a strange coincidence, you know, that we'd hit one house out of many, many farm homes, and it happened to be one that the mother had been there. So there was some kind of connection. Nevertheless, the girl, her name is Tamara, 5-year-old twin. Somebody went through the back door, snuck upstairs, wanted to take a 10-year-old girl, but was afraid she'd wake up and start screaming, so took this little one, and then snuck back downstairs. The back door had been unlocked, and went out and went 6 houses down, and did his thing, you know, and then started moving her alive here and there around the city.
Speak up a little bit, we're losing you.
Started moving her here And they're all around the city, alive, using her. And nevertheless, I couldn't find her. As much as I tried, I couldn't find where she is now. And there are other medicine people who are called in. All of us have failed. We all see similar things, particularly water and field. And, I was even telling the exact conversation going on between three people concerning this little girl. It's all on tape, and the police have it, RCMP. And I got quite involved in this, but I'm ashamed to admit, and I'm so sorry to say, that I was unable to find the child. She's still missing. It's been, 2 months, a little over 2 months.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
And I don't think she's alive anymore. And so remember Tamara, little Indian girl. And what a mess. But others come up missing in similar fashion up there. The Indians are like dogs to many of the whites, and literally are treated like that. Worse than even here in the States in many ways. Are you still with me?
Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate. Yeah, I know. I've heard that the reservation Indians have a little bit better up in Canada, but I've heard of some pretty poor treatment that they get up there. And you know, you'd think that the Canadians would be a little bit more enlightened because you know, they're a little bit more liberal in their thinking, but. Yeah, that's, I guess I got a ways to go.
The last big trip, or rather the very first one I took up there, came across a car accident that went off the side of the road. These res roads are unpaved, dirt, mud, and they use it like we do our own freeways. They actually doing you at 70 miles an hour and better. Well, this small van went off and, came across this accident as the police were there, and one other rig was there, pickup. And I stopped and offered my help, both as a medicine man and as someone who had had EMT training. And the RCMP don't have that training, basic first aid, so boy, they welcomed it. And I got down the embankment, and here is this RCMP woman. It's dark, it's warm, the street is all about. She's got on her regular RCMP coat, and over it she's got this very thick, almost vinyl coat, RCMP. Here's this young girl, I think she was 14, laying in this huge patch of pickers, and moaning, and her head turning from side to side, broken arm. And anyway, I borrowed their flashlight, awful hard 9-cell flashlight, to check her eyes to see what kind of shape she was in for shock. So, but I managed to get the shadow of the light in. And she was in fair shock and going deeper. And mosquitoes all over this girl. She had on a pair of shorts and a shirt, blouse with no sleeves, and mosquitoes all over her. So I asked the RCMP, not just because of the mosquitoes, that was secondary. I asked her, I said, give me your coat, will you? And because, you know, to keep her warm for the shock. And she said, no, there's mosquitoes. Boy, I tell you, just absolute hate in her voice. And so I took off my own shirt and my T-shirt, covered it up, and mosquitoes just came right to me. Meanwhile, other Indians were working their way down and stabilized her. You know, she'd been pitched out of this and could have, you know, her head going back and forth isn't going to help matters if she got a cracked bone or something. So had the cop was just standing there, this broad, and the Indians were doing everything I told them to do. And finally the cop looked at me and she said, "Don't those mosquitoes bother you?" And I said, I looked at her and I said, "What's a little bit of sacrifice of my blood for this young woman's life?" And that shut her up right there.
Yeah.
But it was that guy. The other cop, on the other hand, was, got along great. And I tell you, the Indians there, they were very animated with him, chatted regular, got around this woman, and they became total stone-faced.
Wow.
And they can sense when somebody just accepts you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of WiseFoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, we'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfast and 10 delicious dinner entrees from WiseFoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year's supply from WiseFoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingraham, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why.
Or if they hate you.
Yeah.
So it's terrible out there.
Yeah, I understand. Every band office has got an RCMP office in it, too. It's like having soldier forts, They still have got to keep an eye on the Indians.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We got every telephone.
And yet all the newspapers, no matter, and I was in every province, and the only newspaper I couldn't read was in Quebec. There's a bunch of foreigners that live in that place. And every newspaper I saw, every single one of them, from British Vancouver, which is a huge newspaper, to various other ones, and Winnipeg. I had French Canadians read me off and on a point with this and that, and they'd read it. Every single one of them was just loaded with Indian information, what the government's doing with the Indians and vice versa. You don't see a thing here in the States about Indians unless some Indian kills somebody.
Yeah.
Really amazing. So they are quite liberal on one end and very closed on the other end. People are people.
Yeah.
But little Tamara, please, listeners, little girl, 5 years old, so lively, but I'm afraid not alive anymore, but like to find her dead or alive, and the one that took her. Remember this little girl. This one little girl united the whole country of Canada, believe it or not. Enough was enough, and they're still searching.
Isn't that something? Well, maybe they'll get the equivalent of Megan's Law up there.
I don't know. They'll find her eventually, sure. Meanwhile, in the reservations, people walking up and down the road. This is out in the boonies, folks. You'd be amazed at how many bear kills there are out there. We came close to one ourselves, where a bear was making a raid, and we made noise, and the bear turned around and headed in the woods, and about 3.5 minutes later, there comes a woman walking very, very early in the morning, that bear would either ran or had at her.
Wow.
I mean, that this is serious stuff up there.
That's the best thing to do, a lot of noise.
Up there.
As they say, the best thing to do is make a lot of noise and make sure, if you're in the woods, make lots of noise, that'll give the opportunity for the bear to leave.
Well, the trouble is there's so much land, you go horse going from one neighbor to the next neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
And so you don't make noise. And then when a woman coming by and on her moon time, you know, that the time of the month of women.
Oh, yeah.
They smell that bear, and some bear will just head for it. And you got a dead Indian.
Yeah.
He's off into the boonies.
What, did anybody talk about anything about the big man up there, the Sasquatch?
Oh, a lot of talk, yeah. Yeah, asked me about it, what I thought, and told me things that they seen, and they're quite aware that it exists, this great big one. Oh, you ought to hear the stories that I get. This Cree that's with me, his name's James, and Sasquatch stories, lizard people stories that he's experienced himself, you know, or family has, all different kinds of things that are untold of. Even another type of Mel's hole, and you know, a deep, deep, deep hole, and filled with cement, you know, capped off with cement.
Yeah.
And the things that as they learn to trust you and see that you aren't out there to take advantage of them, oh, shoot, they're super, super nice people.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they sure are. There's some angry ones, but those are the ones that just don't know you, don't know your heart.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, Canada was a busy time, and by the looks of it, they'll be going back probably two more times.
Well, they were having a big elders gathering. I don't know whether that... Did you go to a big gathering of elders last couple of weeks?
Oh, yeah.
Was it over in...
I went to two. I went to
over
one.
Six Nations?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I saw the... and Jake Swamp was there and a bunch of people?
Well, there were a bunch of people there, but nowhere near the amount that they claimed.
Yeah.
They were talking 5,000 or 6,000. I would... and those with me said they're lucky if they had... 1,000, like 800 showed up.
Yeah, I knew they were going to have...
Well, first off, understand, it was so darn far up that you needed a space shuttle to get to that planet.
Yeah.
It was hard to find. I'm surprised even the Indians lived there.
Yeah, I know they had a Unity... a lot of things going on during that 2 months that... Yeah, the Unity ride that was in and out of Canada and the United States both, and it ended up over in New York and Ontario, you know, for that that elders gathering over there.
Mm-hmm. I was at that one too.
Well, it sounds like you sounds like the accommodations weren't the best, and the older folks need their comfort, but it sounds like you. Other than that, you got the royal treatment.
I got royally screwed, that is what happened. Not by the Indians so much as others, but...
Well, if they at least let you sleep in the bed, and they can let you sleep in the bed, and they can crawl under the tub.
Well, you'd think so. Matter of fact, I did spend 4 hours asleep in the tub one night.
Sometimes, you know, people forget their manners, and...
Well, these aren't Indians that were doing that.
Yeah.
These were the others that were not Indians that were doing that.
Yeah.
And but the one thing that I'm afraid of is a very bad guest. I can't stand rice unless it's Spanish rice or with milk and some cinnamon and sugar on it. That's the only way I like rice. And good Lord, you'd swear these Crees are Chinamen. and fish... I can't stand fish. Unless it's a shark, a halibut, a sturgeon, or catfish. And dang, they had these huge pickerel and northern pike and stuff. And I was eating candy, and I'm a diabetic.
You don't like pike?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, hang on. Let me explain why.
Okay.
The bones. I finally had a chance.
Yeah.
I decided I'm starving, man, and I can't get to a res store to even buy a candy bar. So I took one bite of this beautifully cooked fish, and I got over 1 inch bone stuck straight into my lower gum, and I got no teeth down there. It looked like a fang.
Oh, man.
And that was it, man. I spit that, or worked it out, and got rid of it, and I excused myself. And
I'm really surprised, because most people want to fillet fish.
Well, you'd think so. But I think they think fillet means the backbone only.
Jeez.
But I finally did get one pike. Somebody filleted it beautifully, cooked it like I've never tasted fish. I went back for seconds. The guy that
that was good.
Fish, it was great.
Pike is for those who don't know, it's a cold water fish. I guess was born in Minnesota, so. You know, from age 5, I did a lot of fishing with Dad. And but the cold water fish, the pickerel, muskellunge, they're not a real fishy fish. They're just a wonderful light flavor and really yummy and a real treat.
Yeah, I'll say that for it. If you can get around the bones.
Gotta cook them in butter, though.
I don't know. But I know you. I went up there and ate a lot of buffalo, caribou. No deer, but there's
good.
A lot of deer there, but buffalo, caribou, moose.
Moose is good. I like moose.
Elk. Yeah, moose is darn good, and the caribou was really good, except you take, you know, 3 or 4 chews and then spit out of hair they didn't wash out.
Yeah.
I tell you, this old man, I came home weighing a lot less than I went in, and I was weighing a lot less than I should. And as I say, I'm diabetic, and I'm not allowed to do healing on myself. And I sustained all that 2 months on almost totally candy bars.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But the Creator's good. I was too busy to take my medicines, white man medicines. And I only took them 5 times. I was supposed to take them twice in a day, and I only took them 5 times over the 2 months.
Well, if you weren't eating a lot of calories, I suppose.
I did. You know, I had a little bit of money, and I was able to go into a restaurant occasionally. I think I ate out in non-candy bars 6 times in that 2 months. But I had to watch my pennies. I got down to less than $3 Canadian there at one point. But anyway, it's all worked out. I'm still alive. I'm back home. The job was done. I'll go back. And fascinating. Many, many, many healings. Suicide diverted. One blind woman, unfortunately, I needed the sun for her healing. And the first day I got her to see the sun's yellow and the sky blue. But then the sun went behind clouds for 3 days, and I had to leave. So she stuck with yellow and blue. Gee, totally blind. Another guy, all he could see was shadows. Totally healed. A woman blinded in one eye. I said, can you see okay out of that one? I had her shut the other eye, and she looked straight at me, and she had this grin on her face, 80-something years old, and she says, I can see that beautiful red coat you're wearing. And, you know, really, really wonderful things happened. Rheumatism gone. A lot of things happened. I couldn't even tell you how many people were healed. And did I do it? Nope. The Creator did it. All I did was do what He told me to do, and as long as you follow His direction, things are going to work out.
Well, I heard you got out of contact with your sweetheart for a while and found out there had been a fire.
Oh, my. Which sweetheart are you talking about?
It might only be one.
Yeah, my wife. I tell you, those dang Indians kept trying to marry me off. I'm dead serious. And I said, look, I'm married. I don't do this stuff. And it's just for a week.
Okay.
Holy mackerel, man. I tell you. No. That would break the rules of the Inner Hioka and the rules of a Christ follower. And the rules of my own morals and my wife. She trusts me. But, yeah, many things were happening. Not only did one of my family just about make us go completely bankrupt, literally. I'm going to lose my truck and everything else because she wiped us out and bounced all kinds of money. But we managed to just squeak by on that. But also, I had my cell phone, but and I had full Canadian service where it is available. Most of the time, it was way up in the boonies, and it wasn't available. And finally, I got to a city on the way as we were going to Quebec, Winnipeg, and the cell phone got the service and it showed a number of messages. So I'm going through it and my daughter is on one and said, don't worry, Dad, Mom's okay. She's panicked. They wouldn't let the dogs in. They wouldn't let her go up and get the pets. I'm wondering, what the heck is she talking about? And, well, it turned out that there was a forest fire raging all around our house and she'd been evacuated 4 days before.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I didn't know it, you know. So I managed to call my daughter, and she'd gone up. My wife couldn't get up to get the pets. She was at work when all this went on, and they wouldn't let her back in, and the pets were there, and she was just having a fit. And my daughter drove up, said, don't worry, I'll get them. And she drove up, and the cops stopped her, and you can't go there. And she said, I belong to the Torp Volunteer Fire Department. Oh, okay. So she dashed all the smoke and embers to the trailer and got the pets out and got out of there. But when I learned about it, I told Alex, who was driving the van, that rented the van, and we beat our horn and flashed our light at the van in front of us, full of Indians, and I and two of those Indians knew how to change weather, so they pulled over. We told them the problem, and we stopped where we could, put it down the road, and did ceremony, and blew the wind back upon itself, so it was blowing back into the fire. And I said, it's too late for some houses. I see some outbuildings and at least one house burning now. And I said, but all the houses, including ours, on top of the hill are safe. The wind switch around, and the others agreed. They saw the wind switch too, and that's the way of it. And the Creator was good, and I got a hold of my, you know, she was in, you know, for better than 5 days after. I'm glad I wasn't here to smell her, but
yeah.
But nevertheless, everything worked out all right. But I tell you, the black side was doing everything to get me out of Canada before I found that one spot. And my wife, you know, what should we do? And I says, there isn't anything we can do. I says, I got a job to do here. I says, so the house burns down. We're not insured. We got everything that we own up there. And that's a big deal. You know, we got it once. If we need it, we can get it again. And I says, what can I do? If I can even make it home with what little money I got on me, I'd have to hitchhike. I said, what can I do? But just stay in our daughter's house with you and bemoan we're burning, you know. And they said, so big deal. I just continue on and don't worry about it. The house is safe anyway. We've already seen that. We've seen to it, and the Creator's answered our request and stuff like that. And then the wipe out of our money, that came up, and Michelle was upset. And they said, well, don't worry about it, you know. So if we're broke, we've been even broker than that. Well, you lose your truck. I said, so what? You know, I got a job to do here. If it takes everything, including everything on my back and legs, I can make a loincloth, and so can you if you need to. Don't worry about it. And, you know, just trust the Creator and let it be. It's just pray about it and just love Him. God is in all things, including these so-called bad things. And Lucifer was doing everything to get me out of Canada. And I tell you that over two-thirds of that trip, I was so stinky you wouldn't know that I was a holy man at all. I was holy hell.
We'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
But nevertheless, once that spot was found, everything released and everything returned to the way I'm supposed to be and the way I feel and the way I am. But it was hell, that a little over two-thirds of that trip.
That's good. Well, we'll say some prayers that those things that you lost will be restored, and we do.
Well, I didn't lose anything.
Oh, yeah, you know, as far as your money and everything.
Yeah,
I
didn't big deal. Anything. You know, money's money.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a place to live and managed to catch up on these bills that we couldn't catch up on. Plenty of food in the refrigerator and warm clothes, and I finally got a bed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, life is good. What more can one ask for, huh?
Not a whole lot. Well, you feel like you're all talked out for one evening?
No, I think that there's a couple of things.
Go ahead, keep going then.
All right.
It's on, we're about 2 hours and 7 minutes in now.
Okay. To the listeners, especially any who is Cree, the Creator has a nation that He calls His children, and they are the Hebrew nation. Quite similar to American Indians at one time. They too roamed from place to place for their cattle to eat or get food or whatnot. They were not city dwellers, just as we weren't. And quite similar things, for Sundance and stuff, is a replica of the Christ's death on the cross. So, in many ways, the Indian, no matter Cree or what, are on the same type of walk that the whites call the Christ was on. And so they are very close to purity. That's what Christ was in. But they're getting white knight, despite the fact that so many Indians hearing this don't like that word. The fact is, it's a fact, and you know it. Rubbing shoulders, don't tell me you're not white knight. You're probably sitting there in white man's clothes, in a white man's house, or a white man's car. And you use the white man's road and the white man's sidewalk. So don't tell me you're not white knight. You are. You listen to the radio. You've got a computer. You got a TV. All white. So, you know, let's face it. There's some good for white. But don't say you're not white knight. You are. But nevertheless, the Indian world, the Native American world, and I don't call them the First Nation or the first of anything. I call them the first that rode over on the log called North South America when the world split and the continent shifted. But anyway, the Cree or the Indian world in general, all the Indian world, South America included, are quite similar to the Hebrews the way they used to be. And the Creator had the Hebrews as an example to the world. If you did this with your heart and tongue connected to God, He would bless you beyond all means. You'd be cake and honey as a nation, as an individual. And if you read the Old Testament, you'll find that that happened. But He also, that was the reward they get for really loving and trusting the Creator. But He said, if you don't, you're getting another reward. And this too is so. And the Hebrew race has long ago asked God to step down from the throne and give them a man king. That was where they went wrong. He said, if I do this, then the man will take your kids to war and blah, 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 blah. Long list. It's in the Bible. And they said, yeah, we know, but we can handle that. So He said, okay. So He gave him a man king and kind of set up there watching over everything. Well, they got their heart disconnected from their tongue. These Hebrews, the vast majority, not all, quote, not all. And, they started getting the rewards for getting away from that goodness. And they wonder why Holocaust has happened. They wonder why they're surrounded by enemies now. Why they have it so hard? Well, gee whiz, they ask God to step down from being their leader. They pray to Him and all that, but it's white noise. Their heart isn't connected to the tongue. Yet there are people, nations, at least a nation, at least one, that still has their hearts connected to their tongue. And the Creator is now looking, and I'm telling you what I'm told to tell you, listeners. The Creator is now looking and has been looking for a nation of His own. He hasn't abandoned the Hebrews, but they're stuck in their mode of, man king. He wants someone, a nation, that will let Him be the leader of their country. And the Crees are the nation that He is called. The Crees, hear me. Not the Sioux, and not the Navajo, and not the old Penobscot and Mohawk and whatnot. The Crees as a nation. They're so far up there in most of their world and most of their reservations. They are white-nized too, but not as bad as down here. And not anywhere near as bad. And I'm talking about the individual people. They can go out still, individuals, and pick plants that you Indians down here don't know nothing about. You got to run to your medicine man, generally. Generally, understand. But anyway, they're still connected to God in a far greater way. And He is calling the Cree Nation to make Him the high chief over all their chiefs. And if they do so, then there will be milk and honey for those people. But it will divide the Cree Nation, because you have the progressive who rely on the white man and the white man's yearly money funds and all this and that. And they have the traditionalists who have forgotten what purity is, but have gotten into tradition. Many of those are learning purity now on my visits up there, and they're grasping purity. understanding and mixing it with their tradition, and it's good. And when tradition goes down the pot, when the fires hit the earth and all the plants that traditioners need are burned up, at least the vast majority of them, at least these people know purity and know how, hear me, know how to envision the plant and make it into physical existence. You can't do that as a traditionalist too well, but it can be done. But that's the way it's done in purity all the time. But nevertheless, the nation will split, and the larger amount will go and stick with the white man. But there will be a great group of those who really want Papa to be the chief of their individualized and group. Those who will be blessed beyond anything this world has ever seen, quote, ever seen. Even more so than the Hebrews when they were in right standing, because now the world is coming to pot in a handcart, and this small-ish group will shine out not so much as a burning light that you spotlight looking for airplanes up in the air, but like a giant volcano that just lights up their area. And this is what I've checked this 10 times. I only checked 3 times. That's all I'm required. But I checked this 10 times. And the Creator has literally told me, hear me audibly, this last time, continue on. Tell me what I just told you. The Cree Nation is being called to go back to Dad alone, dropping the white man's way. And it will be. And it is not another nation being asked. It is only the Cree. There are individuals within the other nations, USA, South America, Canada, and other nations, Africa and stuff, that have people of this walk. But the whole, they've all got a pot. And so it will only be individuals, but as a group, the Crees are there's still a huge amount of people so unwhitenized that they hold us close to this Creator. I've never seen so many sweats in my life. These people go to a sweat 3, 5, or better times in a week. They're the wettest dang bunch of people I ever know in my life. But they've really are serious about their talk and touch with the Creator. And he's heard this, he's watched this, and he's calling the Cree Nation to come to him alone. It will divide. It will divide. But those that come to him alone will show the world what will happen when you keep your tongue connected to your heart. While the Hebrews, his children, will show the world what happens when it's nothing but yak and dump.
Yeah. Well, more power to him. I know it's going to be hard for him. Because, like you said, there's going to be a split.
Oh, yeah.
Progressive, well, the progressives, most of them won't even listen to you, and the traditionals have got to decide, you know, whether they're going to go with tradition or going to go with Creator, because they're not necessarily the same thing.
No, it isn't. But believe me, I'm watching the traditions very closely, and they're seeing that there's more to being with the Creator than tradition.
Oh, sure.
And they're coming to me and talking to me all times of the night. My guys, I'm only getting 2-3.5 hours sleep a night up there. And, you know, they wrap up my window. They see me snoring there in the back seat all crunched up. Lord, it's terrible, but it's got its reason. But by the way, there is no more fence straddling. You cannot play games with God anymore. He doesn't want you part traditionalist, part old progressive. There's just no more of it. You're going to go one way or the other. If you go tradition, you will end up in purity. If you don't, you're going to end up with progressing, and you're on the wrong side of the fence. Now, the second thing I'd like to talk about is a staff, S-T-A-F-F, or stick, that was found a number of years back by a Cree, Canadian-speaking Cree, there in the coast of the Atlantic, that was carved before the Earth split the last time, and empowered by the elders, women. And this staff, I've been quite involved with this staff now for, what, maybe 2 years or close to that. And it is about to give birth to the knowledge it has been given to the way of I can energize the stone and put my thoughts into it. And another who knows how to open the way of it can read it or turn it on like a recording, you know. And this was done with this staff. And it is a woman's staff. It is being protected by the Cree Nation. It is not the Cree Nation's staff. They are only the protectors. And it is for all women of our planet. All. No matter what religion or race or creed or whatnot. It's for every female on this planet. Not for the man. And it is about to open up its knowledge, probably this late spring or summer sometime, on the Pacific coast. There will be hundreds of women who will come. 13 are to be chosen to do the work of the staff. And, and many men will come because one will be chosen to do the work with the staff. And they will gather on the Pacific side, somewhere up in Canada. And each will present themselves, who they are, and walk backwards into the circle that holds the staff. All of these that do this, men and women, will think that they are one of the chosen ones. And I'm speaking hundreds of women. My gosh, hundreds. And of all colors, not just Indian. And if you're not the one, it's like somebody, you're walking backwards towards somebody laying on the floor with their legs up against their chest and boot you in the butt with the bottom of your feet, their feet, and you're literally kicked forward. This will happen until the 13 are chosen. And those 13 out of the 13, 7 will be the ones that work the closest. The other will back them in prayer. And those 7 will literally walk into a whirlpool that will appear in the ocean at the pointing of the staff. And they will walk downstairs in this deep ocean whirlpool. And the water will close over them. And the ceremony must continue. I don't know if it's for a day or a few months. I have no idea. But the whole thing must continue, or those people will never come back. They won't drown. They'll just be in another dimensional plane. But they won't come back with all the knowledge that that this staff was meant to bring to the women of the world. And when they come back, this knowledge, and by the way, at least one of the people will be a white woman. There will be Indians there in the 7th, but at least one will be white. Might be a black woman, too.
Maybe she'll be a Cherokee, just look white.
yeah, maybe. But nevertheless, there's going to be a lot of hurt feelings and a lot of sore butts as they get kicked out of that dang circle. I mean, a lot. There's going to be a lot of jealousy and anger and hate.
Yeah.
A lot of spite. But that's right. Those are the ones without true hearts. The Creator and the staff know the ones with true hearts. And those are the ones that will, whatever it is, the knowledge for the women of all Earth, whatever it is, will do them some great good. It's for them. It's for them. And that staff will give birth. It's already well pregnant. I speak with the staff. And she tells me things. It's a female. Female would, too. And, the staff at the moment is in Quebec. And it's already gone across Canada twice. It should go one more time for the ceremony. It might be another time or two across, but it shouldn't.
And when's the ceremony?
Time, like any pregnant woman, when it's ready to give birth, it needs time to just tell people, get out of my face.
And when's the ceremony?
Probably. Now, don't quote me, but probably this late spring or summer on the West Coast. And the world, I'm telling this, so hopefully any that hears my voice on your web radio thing, will put the word out that there is such a staff, and that eventually during this time, word will go around the world, and the Creator will touch the ones that are to come to this meeting, and Lucifer too, believe me, because most of them are not truly in the Creator; they're in themselves, and when you're in self, you're in the blind. But they will know. But the word must be given out, and I'm giving it out publicly here. I've given it out publicly there, and it will be. So those are two important things about what's going on here. But let me end with this. I have my website, and I have a forum. I stopped doing the forum several months ago, but I opened it up. So anybody that wants to copy this whole form, it's a 9-hour read to go through all the answers and questions. And if you have a means of copying this in whatever way, do so, because I'm not paying any more on it, and it will soon go off the air, and there will be a lot